Blog Talk Radio.
There is power.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, every change. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Hallelujah. When we read in the book of Philippians, there's a name given unto him which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of the Father. Hallelujah. There's no other name. No other name. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. People look for different names, different characters of their God. And we know that there are about 2,400 religions out there, beliefs out there, but there's only one empty tomb. Why? Because his name is Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. Glory be, the one born of a virgin in Bethlehem from the tribe of David, from the family of David. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that he's going to sit on the throne of his father David. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. There is power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So there's no reason why you have to feel like you're tied up, like you're in chain. God has set you free. If you believe it in your heart, receive it in your heart, you would be able to walk free. God always gives repentance, and you just need to ask him, and then you got to forgive yourself and make it right with others if you hurt anyone else. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is Pastor Carlos A. Ramos, Jr. of the Way, the Truth, and the Life Tabernacle. That's your host here on Blog Talk Radio for our Thursday evening Bible study. Glory be to the Lord. Let me give you a quick disclaimer, and that is the music that we play on this radio program at this time do not belong to Pastor Ramos. They do not belong to the church. They do not belong to Blog Talk Radio. They belong to the individual artists who sing the song. And because we bought the original CDs and DVDs, we have permission in them to use their songs. Glory to his name. There is power in the name of Jesus. Glory be to the Lord. You know, as I was listening to the song and praying, you know, I just want to share something that I was thinking about. And it made it so much clearer. You know, when you read the New Testament from the Gideon Bible, then the 1530 Gideon Bible, 1590 Gideon Bible, whichever one you want to use, down into 1500s before the King James Version. And I love the King James Version. However, though, in 2 Thessalonians, when it talks about let no man deceive you, you know, in the King James Version, we have the word falling away. But the original word there, when you look it up in the Gideon Bible, was departure. Hallelujah. Now, we know one thing, that at that time, more or less, we have the Reformation where Luther nailed the 95-page theses on the church doors, the Catholic Church, because the Catholic Church wanted people to sell indigence, the chains with the images, and, you know, to get money for the church. But Martin Luther said, no, the word of God says the righteous shall live by faith. Glory. So he nailed the thesis there, and the Reformation started. The Protestant movement started. We came apart from them. And there was two gentlemen who wanted to write the word of God in the common language, where even a newspaper boy, it was able to read the Bible. So one of them was William Tyndale. The other one was Wycliffe. And what happened was that they ended up going to Geneva. But they were captured and they both were murdered. They became martyrs for the cause of Christ. They put Tyndale up on a pole and they pulled the rope around his neck so tight that he died from suffocation there. Glory be to the Lord. They burned him at the stake there. They took Wycliffe, who was killed and was buried, they took his bones out and they burned the bones and scattered his ashes in the ocean. We know that Polycarp, who was a student of John, was up on the pole to be burned on fire. But when they set the wood on fire, the flames would not go to him. So they ended up with a spear. They speared him to death. But the fire would not come to him. Glory be to the Lord. So what happened was that the Gideon Bible was the one that pilgrims used when they came in 1692. And even prior to that, when they came over to America, Pocahontas and the other Indians, when they read the word, they were converted from their paganism to worship the one and true God. So departure, you know, like I said, there was a Reformation, there was a Protestant movement. So the church there, the Catholic Church, they developed what they call the Bishop's Bible, very big Bible, the Family Bible. And they use words like rebellion. There was a rebellion. They thought it was a rebellion. And King James, when they had to write their Bible, they wrote fallen away. The original word that was used in the Gideon Bible way back with Tyndale and Wycliffe was departure, because that word speaks a departure and it goes from one place to another. So there's going to be a rapture, a pre-tribulation rapture. And I don't know who decided to change it to rebellion, who decided to change it to fallen away. But when you use those words, it doesn't indicate a movement from one place to another. But departure does. Just like you go to the airport and, you know, they have the cleaning people cleaning the airplane. They have the pilots there. They have the host there, and they're preparing the plane for the takeoff. And then they start calling people by sections, and to the whole plane, or to everybody gets on, and then the captain makes contact with the tower and tells him he's ready to take off, and he's waiting for permission from the tower to go on a certain runway and take off and go from one place to another there. So all these people prepare the plane for the departure. And so it is here, my brothers and sisters, that we are preparing. There's a departure coming. There is a rapture coming. In the book of Corinthians, Paul writes down that the Lord calls us ambassadors. And one thing that I learned is when you look at all these countries that are at war, before they started war, they always called their ambassadors home first. And so is with Christ. The sound of the trumpet, the voice of the archangel, a loud shout would occur, that dead in Christ will rise first. We that remain shall be caught up, harpazo. We're going to depart this earth, and we're going to meet the Lord in the clouds. That's where he's coming from, in the air. And he's going to take us to his Father's house. So we're going to always be with the Lord. And that's why we comfort each other with these words, because we know it's going to happen. And I'm going to share one scripture with you where it tells you that the word of God is true. I'm going to read to you, and you know, I was praying and seeking the Holy Ghost for guidance and directions. And, you know, in departure, they always prepare the plane for departure. And they always make sure the books are in order. Everything, the instructions are in order. The seats are in order. Everything is locked down so there won't be nothing flying. And when you get on board, you put your carry-on luggage on the overheads, and they can lock it up so it don't be flying all over the place. So we're going to read chapter 22 of the book of Revelation, which is the last chapter. And the reason I'm going to read that is because it tells us the victory that we have in Christ Jesus. And it begins like this, Revelation 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of it, of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. Remember, the earth was cursed. Adam and Eve was cursed. The serpent was cursed. There won't be no more curse. But the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And this is what I want you to, from today's lesson, to take into your heart and understand. You don't, God has given us confirmation in this verse. He says, and he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels show unto his servants the things which must surely be done. So these are faithful and true words of the Lord. We could count on it. You know, a lot of people say, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Well, you could put your eggs in this basket because, you know, God sees the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. These words are faithful and true. Verse 7, behold, I come quickly. Blessed he is he, the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then said he unto me, see that thou doest not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of the brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Glory. That's the second time the angel tells him the time is at hand. If you remember in the first chapter, he said, blessed is he that read it and keep it and hear it, the words of this book, for the time is at hand. Verse number 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever love it and make it a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. So some people might ask, should I go to church? Oh, we don't have to go to church. You know, they're streaming it through the computer or the telephone. No, we need to go to church. The word of God tells us in Hebrews, we should not forsake the assembly of ourselves, because God sent a message unto us by his angel. I read it again. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testified these things said, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. We want to thank the Lord for his word, for his message that he sent to us through his angels. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 You know, a couple of weeks ago, we started in our Bible study a very dear topic to me. And the subtopic is called What's Next? And we read What's Next? Part 1 and Part 2. Today, we're going to read Part 3. So let me just share with you that every Sunday we're here in Blog Talk Radio at 6 p.m. for the Bible Mystery. This week we're going to deal with the subject, Why Couldn't a Sorcerer Curse Israel? And if you come up with the correct answer, the church will mail you out a beautiful, colorful, accordion-style type pamphlet regarding the Temple of the Lord. That's on Sunday. Tuesday at 3 a.m., we have intercessory prayer. And Thursday, again, we have Bible study at 6 p.m. And you could call us at 516-418-5944. We would encourage you to invite your family, friends, and neighbors to join us here. When you call, press number 1 to be connected to the studio, and we will deal with the questions or comments or testimonies that people have. Glory. If you call us on Tuesday morning for prayer, we will share the subjects, the subjects that we have to pray for. Glory be to the Lord. I just want to let everybody know that I am not a time setter. We have looked at What's Next, Part 1, Part 2, and now today's going to be Part 3. And then we got one more part, Part 4. We have taken 34 different events, future events, and 4 other titles. So it's a total of 38. And we've broken it up into 4 sections or 4 parts. And today we're going to look at Part 3. We're going to look at Part 3. Talking about future events, what we think happens. We don't know when these things are going to happen. We don't have a date set. We are not date setters. But when you study your scriptures, you're going to come across these words and you're going to look them up, and you want to ask the Holy Spirit to guide you and direct you in the way you should go, because especially now, brothers and sisters, we are in Part 3, which we believe would occur after the rapture. These are future events. Okay, when we get into Section 1, which is the rapture of the church, this servant here believes in the pre-tribulation rapture. There are people that believe in the mid-tribulation and the post-tribulation, and we're going to speak on all three. I don't want to be left behind. I want to be found worthy to escape the wrath to come. And so I believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, but that is something we individually that we all have to do, is choose which one by studying the Bible and asking the Holy Spirit to guide you so you'll be able to choose the right one. And by choosing the right one, you're going to make yourself ready. We believe in the pre-tribulation. That means before the tribulation starts. So it's not an object of getting ready. We must be ready when that occurs. So every day we have an imminent expectation that Jesus Christ is coming for the church. So we are praying always, trying to live, not compromising with sin, and living and testifying to others and living in a way that is pleasing to our Father. And that's the main thing that we are dealing with right now. Before we start into our part three of what's next, let us have a short word of prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Thank you, Father, in the precious name of Jesus. You guide us and direct us by your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of your word, Father God, that we may teach your people what you want us to teach. Lord, use us as an instrument. Lord, we don't know these things. We are dependent upon you, Holy Spirit, to guide us and direct us in the way to do. Same thing with prayer. We don't know what to pray for, so we ask that you pray in through us. Take our words and make them the words that we should be praying. We know that Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us every day. So we want to thank you. And Lord, we want to make sure that we don't have a spot or wrinkle on our dress as we get ready for the marriage feast of the Lamb and for his coming to for us in the air. Some people confuse his second coming, which he's going to come and stand on Mount Olivet, but he's going to come for the church first, and we're going to meet him in the air. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Again, I'm Pastor Carlos A. Ramos, Jr., of your host, The Way, the Truth, and the Life Tabernacle here on Blog Talk Radio. You could call us at 516-418-5944. Glory be to the Lord. And when you call, press number 1 to be connected to the studio. If you want to email the church, you could WTL, everything is lowercase, WTLTabernacle@gmail.com. Glory be to the Lord. If you want to speak to the pastor direct here in Florida, the telephone number is 772-626-3178. You could call me after 7 if you want to talk to me today. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. If there's something that you need to be clarified with, you need scriptures for, then we do our best to accommodate that. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So in part 3 of what's next. Now, remember, I said there's about 34 plus 4. So there's about 38 sections, 38 subtopics and 4 sections. And we're going to talk about, this is an overall, this is not in-depth or nothing like that. I'm just going to tell you the titles of the subjects that we're going to be covering in the near future. The first one is the Gog and Magog invasion of Israel. We know that the Middle East is very, very hot these days. The Russians, the Turks, the people from Iran, Iraq, the people from India, the people from Ethiopia, Egypt, Sudan, Saudi Arabia. They're all are cousins. However, they've been at war with each other since the longest time. And remember, we all of us proclaim that Abraham is our father by faith, but some of our cousins that live over there in the Middle East are fighting over the land. If they were to read the scriptures carefully, they would understand that God himself gave the land to Israel. Glory be to the Lord. Why, you might ask? Well, all of us, prior to coming to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we were idolaters. We went after other gods. We would worship other gods. Israel was the only one, when they came out of Egypt from their captivity, that followed the ways of the Lord and worshiped the one and true God. Which started through Seth, Noah, Noah's son Seth, and many people began to worship the Lord during those times, and they were the only nation that worshiped the true and one God, only one God. They didn't need to make any idols. They didn't need to do any statues of things on the air, things on the ground, things under the ground, because that's not the image of God. The image, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So we have Gog and Magog. I'm not going to reveal which one is which right now because I want you to study. But one is the title of a person, and the other one is the title of the nation, or what the nation was called way back when. So it's Gog and Magog, invasion of Israel. That's what we believe might occur before the rapture or after the rapture. We're not sure. Yep. So we have to be prepared. Jesus said, when you see these things, hurricanes, earthquakes, tsunamis, stars falling out of the sky, he said, when you see these things, look up, for your redemption is drawing nigh. And we see a convergence of all these things. Convergence meaning that not only one thing is happening, but many things are happening at the same time. And, you know, we want to do what is pleasing unto God, because we're not sure we're not 100% sure of what's going to happen next. We take a idea. We want to make it our own, and we want to say, well, this is going to happen next, and we really don't know. Only God's in control. So we just got to be ready. If we knew when the rapture was going to want to take place, well, let's say we say the rapture takes place next July, let's say. Well, many people will continue in their sin until June. And then they'll try to make themselves worthy come July. And it doesn't work that way. We have to be ready every day. Every day we're going to be holy. God is looking for a pure heart and clean hands. He's not looking for people to get ready, because by the time you look and try to get ready, you're not going to make it. Jesus gave us the parable of the 10 virgins, remember? Five of them was wise and five of them was not wise, and they all fell asleep. But when the midnight cry came that the bridegroom was there, the five foolish virgins realized they didn't have enough oil. So they asked the five wise virgins for oil, but the five wise virgins said, not so, we won't have enough, so why don't you go buy some? And the five foolish virgins went out to buy. But who's going to sell oil or anything like that at midnight? So by the time the five foolish virgins came back, the five wise virgins went with the bridegroom. They closed the door, and they went to the marriage feast. And the five foolish virgins were left behind because they were not prepared. So we have to be prepared, brothers and sisters. We want to be like the five wise virgins, not like the five foolish virgins. We want to be ready. We can't take a chance. We don't want to take a chance, and you shouldn't take a chance believing that you have enough time to get yourself ready for the coming of the Lord. We don't have enough time. Every second that passes by is a second that we wasted, because if you look back at that second, you can't really say that I got myself ready then. Nope. That's why we, in the churches, the pastors, we preach and teach for everyone to get ready, for everyone to be prepared, because we never know when it's going to occur. The rapture could occur before the end of this program. I'm sure you have seen the little skit that they did where the preacher is preaching from the pulpit, and he's got a congregation there, and he's telling them about the rapture, when it might occur. And he says it could occur by the end of this program. And when he says that, when he says by the end, there was a lightning sound, many people disappeared, the pastor was gone, and the rapture had taken place, and a lot of people was left behind because they were not ready. They were in sin. They did not confess the sin. They did not ask the Lord to cleanse them. Now, God says, if you look at 1 John 1:9, that he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of all our sins, to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. And that's what Christ will do for us. As we confess our sins to him, we repent of our sin, we don't do them again, and he will cleanse us and prepare us for his coming. Glory be to the Lord. So we see Gog and Magog, they're going to come with an army, and they're going to come to fight against Israel because they're going to want Jerusalem on their side. Right now, a lot of people, you know, they're having arguments or whatever, and we know that they're fighting over oil. There's a lot of oil in the Saudi Arabia area. There's a lot of oil in the Israel area. And whoever owns, you know, the land owns the oil. So there's a lot of people looking for having ownership of the land. Yes. Then we have martyrdom of the two witnesses. We're going to look at the life of the two witnesses. A lot of people have their opinion as to who the two witnesses are. We're not 100% sure. We could guess as who they might be. Some people say Moses and Elijah because they appeared to Jesus on the Mount Transfiguration. But I remember somewhere in the Bible it says that is appointed unto man once to die. So we know that Enoch and Elijah never died. And we know that the Antichrist will kill the two witnesses and leave their bodies in the streets so everybody could see that they're dead. But after 3.5 days, the Lord will raise them up and they will be raptured up to heaven. So Moses have seen death because the word of God tells us God buried him himself. So, I mean, do we consider that a rapture? That was Moses' rapture to heaven? And it's Moses who represents the law, and Isaiah represents the spirit or the prophets. We don't know who it might be, but it also, you could look at this way too. In the Old Testament, God called Israel, in Isaiah 43, his witnesses. And in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus called us his witnesses. So the two witnesses, you know, could be Israel and the Gentiles or the church. We don't know. By that time, we believe that the rapture have taken place. So I think that that deals with the church, the Gentiles, and the Jewish believers. So it might be two witnesses that came and spoke of the Lord, like Isaiah, like Enoch, like Moses. We're not sure. We just, only God knows who they are. Then we see, we're going to be talking about Satan being casting out of heaven. Now, we know the first time that Satan was, or Lucifer, was cast out of heaven, you know, he was called a dragon, and he slay one-third of the angels. So he brought up with him one-third of the angels. He was, but the thing is that he was cast to the second heavens. He wasn't cast out of heaven itself. But he will be cast out of heaven to the earth. Jesus said he saw him cast out like lightning moves from the east to the west. So there's a lot of things that we see in Revelation that is future tense, that it is spoken of as if it was a present. So we have to look at these things, you know, the way the Lord wrote it down. And in Revelation chapter 1, verse 19, it talks, the angel's talking to John and says, write the things that you saw, the things that are happening now, and the things that will happen. So some people are confused, and they don't believe that the book of Revelation is in chronological order. But when you look at verse 19 of chapter 1, it tells you there that the book is chronological order. What John saw in the past, he wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the first chapter of Revelation, all that belongs to the past. Then the present time, when John was writing, he was writing to the seven churches. And then after the fourth chapter is something that was going to happen later on, after the church's rapture in Revelation 4:1. Glory be to the Lord. But we see that Satan will be cast out of heaven. Many times we've seen the sign of the dragon coming to the earth or coming after the woman. Revelation 12, we see that it says that John saw a sign in the heavens, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon in between her legs, the stars, 12 stars around her head, and she gave forth a baby boy. And so we know that the woman represents Israel, the sun representing Jesus Christ, the boy she gave birth to, the 12 stars represent the 12 tribes of Israel. And we thank the Lord for that. And the red dragon that's spoken about there is talking about Lucifer. He slay one third of the angels. One third of the angels disobeyed God and they left their establishment in heaven. And then we see, we're going to talk about the abomination of desolation in the temple. And if you remember, one of the Greek leaders, Antipas, came and he put a pig in the temple, and he made the Israelites eat, and he desecrated the temple. Number five, we see the full manifestation of the Antichrist, and that is when they build the third temple, the Antichrist will come to the temple as if he's God. And we see Satan will taking over the Antichrist, and they want to rule the world. And they make a pact with Israel for 7 years. And after 3.5 years, we see that the Antichrist breaks that covenant. And when that happens, then we're going to see a worldwide persecution of Israel. Worldwide, meaning the whole world, everybody around the world, whoever they may be, will come against Israel. Because Israel will be in leadership. However, people are going to turn against Israel, and they don't want Israel to be their leadership. We're going to see the destruction of religious Babylon. Religious Babylon, speaking about a false religion. It could be a false Christian belief, Islamic or Jewish belief. We're not 100% sure. But the destruction of the religious Babylon. And some people think it's Rome. Some people think it's media. It's not the old Babylon, because God said they were not going to be rebuilt. So the destruction of the religious Babylon. So remember, it says religious Babylon. So you have economic and political Babylon, but religious Babylon is people who are trying to use their status to deceive people and believing that what they teach is the right thing. Then you have the seven trumpet judgments and the seven bowl judgments. And we could read that in the book of Revelations, and we see how the judgments that it's coming upon the earth because the tribulation has started. When the Antichrist breaks the covenant with Israel, begins the 3.5 years of great tribulation, and it's going to occur on the earth. Many things will happen when the trumpets and the bowls judgments are poured onto the earth. When the seven trumpets are sounded, when the seven bowl judgments are poured upon the earth, many things will happen. 1/3 of mankind will die. The trees, the earth, the oceans will be hurt. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to also see afterwards the destruction of the economic and political Babylon. So we see that there's three things of Babylon that we're going to deal with: religious, economic, and political. So when you see these three things, they want to take over the world, because there's going to be one religion, one economic system, and one political system to control the world. There's going to be one leader, the Antichrist. So we're going to see the destruction of the economic and political Babylon. So we understand that the economy and the political system of Babylon will be destroyed. Then we're going to see where all nations gather together, and they're going to want to fight against Israel, and it's going to start in Armageddon. But according to the prophets, you know, the battle is going to be in Jerusalem. Great war there. And then we're going to see Jesus Christ. The last point that we're going to look here on introduction part three is the second coming of Christ. He's going to come to Mount Olives with the army, which is us, which is the saints of God, his angels, and they're going to, you know, we're not going to do anything but just praise him, because he's going to defeat the enemy with the word of his mouth. And then he's going to begin his millennial reign on earth. So this introduction, part three, of the subjects that we're going to speak about in the future, in the near future. And then we got part four, which begins with the regathering and judgment of Israel, and it ends with creation of the new earth and the new heaven and the new Jerusalem. So we're going to be dealing with that. But the first subject that we're going to deal with is called the final revolt. The final revolt. That's who we're going to be talking about before the rapture. Now, the rapture, we're going to break it up into three parts, and that is pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, and post-tribulation. Those three areas. And we're going to break it down. And we're going to take our time, brothers and sisters. So this project that we have now, that I believe the Holy Spirit has given to us, for us to speak on 34 subtopics, what's next, and four other topics, the final revolt, calling it like it is, the good news, and the future events. It's going to take a while. We're going to be here talking on this subject for quite a while before we go on to another subject. So we have to be prayerful, and I'll ask you to pray. Keep us in prayer as we go forward, that God will give us understanding, wisdom, and knowledge of his word, so we'll be able to give forward these words, and that God may receive all the glory and all the praise and thanksgiving due unto his name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And we're going to glorify the Lord. We're going to continue to lift him up. Jesus says, if I be lifted up, all men, I'll draw unto me. And so one thing you have to realize, that I'm just going to take we've got 5 minutes to go. I'm going to take a few minutes to share with you something from the gospel. And that is, you know, when you look at yourself in the mirror, you know, and you be honest with yourself, you know, have you kept the commandments of God, the Ten Commandments? You know, a lot of people say, well, we're under grace, we're not under the commandments. And that, you know, that's true. We were saved by grace through faith. However, those that have not accepted Christ as the Lord and Savior have allowed themselves to be under the law. And under the law, you have to give an account for your Ten Commandments. God's not going to hold you responsible for the ceremonial law or for the feast laws or for the laws of eating, but he will hold us responsible for the Ten Commandments. Now, the first commandment is to love God with our heart, mind, and soul, and strength. The second commandment is not to have no other gods before us. The third commandment is to honor the name of God. The fourth commandment is to honor the Sabbath day. The fifth commandment is to honor our father and mother. The sixth commandment is not to murder. The seventh commandment, not to become adulterous. The eighth commandment is not to steal. The ninth commandment is not to lie. And the tenth commandment is not to covet. Now, in the fourth commandment, you know, when you read the scriptures carefully, Jesus says that he's the Lord of the Sabbath, and the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So our Sabbath day is every day in Christ Jesus. We don't wait to a particular day of the week to celebrate the Sabbath because we might not make it there. So we always celebrate the Sabbath every day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so, you know, you have to ask yourself the question, have I broken any of these commandments? The Word of God says if you broke one, you've broken them all. So, you know, and if you broke the commandments of God, even just one, it means you're guilty of breaking the commandments. And if you're guilty, heaven is not your home. Hell is your home. The Bible says that hell was made for the angel and his angels, but because of man's disobedience, hell has enlarged her mouth. So you don't want to go to hell. And the way to avoid going to hell, and that is to repent of your sins, give it unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe what he has done. He died for you on the cross. He gave his precious blood. He resurrected on the third day. And then you get baptized in the name of Jesus to show people the outward showing of an inward conversion, and you shall be safe. And then, you know, you go and you tell others of the goodness of Jesus. And Jesus said, when you do that, your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But if you live it for another day, if you say, well, I'll wait till I feel it, or I'll wait till next year, you know, that day will, there's no guarantee that day will come, because the Word of God tells us that tomorrow is not promised to nobody. It's appointed unto man once a day, and then the judgment. So my brothers and sisters, if you're away from the Lord and you have not been saved, you have not been born again. Born again is you've been born once in the flesh. Now you need to be born in the Spirit by repenting of your sin and accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior. Do you do that? Go to church, share your conversions with the pastor and your members there, and God will save you. We'll be back on Sunday evening at 6 p.m. for the Bible mystery, and we're going to deal with why couldn't the sorcerer curse Israel. So until then, may the Lord richly bless you. Amen and amen.